It's March 19th and this is your daily brief in Australian news. Here's everything you need to know. In a landmark settlement, Uber's Australian arm is poised to pay a hefty sum of $272 million Australian dollars to resolve claims from over 8,000 taxi and hire car operators. This case shines a light on the tensions between traditional transportation services and modern ride-sharing platforms. The lawsuit, initiated in 2019, centres on allegations from taxi and hire car owners and drivers. They argue that Uber's entrance into the Australian market led to significant financial losses, affecting their income and the value of their licences. This legal battle underscores the disruptive impact of ride-sharing services on traditional transportation industries. Despite reaching a settlement, Uber has chosen to keep the details under wraps until the agreement is finalised and presented to the court. This move has sparked curiosity and speculation about the terms of the settlement. Following the announcement, Uber's shares experienced a slight dip of 1.5%, landing at $74.89 as of 10:14 a.m. Eastern on Monday, March 18, 2024. However, it's worth noting that Uber's stock has seen a substantial increase of over 28% throughout 2024. The settlement marks the end of a five-year legal confrontation, but it still awaits the green light from the court. This development is a significant milestone in Uber's journey in Australia. The company has emphasised its compliance with regulations across all states and territories, positioning itself as a vital component of Australia's transportation ecosystem. This case may set a precedent for how ride-sharing companies and traditional transportation services coexist and resolve conflicts in the future. In Australia, renters are facing a sweltering crisis, with a recent study by Better Renting revealing indoor temperatures soaring up to 37 degrees Celsius in Perth rental properties. This alarming data sheds light on the extreme heat conditions many tenants endure, highlighting a pressing health and safety concern. The research found that renters are experiencing a median daytime temperature of 26.3 degrees Celsius, with temperatures exceeding 30 degrees Celsius for 3 hours daily. Even at night, the heat doesn't let up, with median temperatures remaining high at 26.8 degrees Celsius between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. These conditions are not just uncomfortable, but pose serious health risks. Acknowledging the dire implications of these findings, the report calls on the state government to step in and set minimum temperature standards for rental properties. Among the proposed measures to combat the heat are better insulation and the installation of ceiling fans aimed at safeguarding tenants' health. The study, which included a mix of public and private homes, provided evidence of the detrimental effects constant exposure to high temperatures can have on cardiovascular, renal, and mental health. With the highest recorded temperature in a home reaching a staggering 37.1 degrees Celsius, the urgency for rental housing improvements is clear. Better Renting's Deputy Director, Bernie Barrett, emphasised the significant research backing the negative health impacts of constant heat, underscoring the need for immediate action to ensure the well-being of renters during Australia's hot summer months. In a startling revelation, a recent report has highlighted the severe economic and ecological threat posed by fire ants in Australia, with potential losses pegged at $38 billion over the next 3 decades. This comes as a stark warning against the premature cessation of government funding dedicated to the eradication of this invasive species. The background to this story involves the invasive fire ant, a venomous pest that has been making its presence felt across Australia. These ants not only threaten the country's agriculture and tourism sectors, but also pose a significant risk to human health and native wildlife. According to the National Allergy Centre, up to 650,000 Australians could be at risk of fire ant stings each year, with some cases potentially leading to fatal allergic reactions. Diving deeper, the report underscores the extensive economic impact that could arise from an unchecked spread of fire ants. The pests are known to harm livestock productivity, damage horticulture crops, and even endanger native animals, including arboreal species and nest-bound hatchlings. The Federal Environment Department has raised alarms over the threat to Australia's biodiversity, especially to its unique fauna. In response to this growing threat, the federal government has stepped up its efforts by allocating additional funds for eradication programs. However, experts argue that the current funding levels fall significantly short of what is necessary. They advocate for nearly doubling the budget to effectively combat the fire ant invasion and mitigate its potential impacts. In conclusion, the fight against fire ants in Australia is not just about preserving the country's economic interests, but also about protecting its rich biodiversity and ensuring the safety of its citizens. The call for increased funding reflects the urgency and scale of the challenge at hand, emphasizing the need for a comprehensive and adequately resourced response to this environmental threat. In a concerning turn of events, two registered child sex offenders have been discovered engaging with school children at Aboriginal meeting places in Victoria. This situation brings to light significant gaps in the safeguarding policies of organisations involved in cultural education. The offenders were actively involved in conducting cultural tours for school children. Shockingly, photographic evidence has surfaced showing one of the offenders posing with the children. This revelation has sparked a conversation about the safety measures in place at such organisations. It has been uncovered that current policies at these Aboriginal organisations do not require background checks for new members. This oversight allowed one sex offender to participate in the community's activities for an entire year before his criminal history came to light. The Victorian State Government mandates working with children, checks for workers, both paid and volunteer, but this requirement does not extend to members of organisations. In a proactive move, Willem Warrain, an Aboriginal community group, has taken steps to address this oversight. The organisation has tightened its rules, now barring registered sex offenders from joining. This decision marks a significant step towards ensuring the safety of children participating in cultural education programs. In a landmark move, Australia's Senate has just passed legislation that will significantly extend paid parental leave to 26 weeks by 2026. This pivotal decision marks a major step forward in supporting families across the nation, aiming to foster a more inclusive and equitable system of parental support. The updated legislation ensures that parents will receive payments equivalent to the national minimum wage, a change designed to make the scheme more accessible and flexible for over 180,000 families each year. This initiative not only supports maternity and paternity leave, but also includes parental leave, reinforcing the government's commitment to gender equality. Furthermore, the government has laid out plans to introduce superannuation benefits for individuals on parental leave. This includes a notable increase in the amount of leave parents can take simultaneously, enhancing the scheme's flexibility. Starting from July 2025, Labor has pledged to pay superannuation on government-funded parental leave for parents of babies born from that date, offering an additional 12% superannuation on top of their government-funded parental leave. While the announcement has been met with applause, some advocates are calling for further improvements. They argue for increased payments and an expansion of the scheme to 52 weeks, indicating that while the progress is commendable, there's still room for growth in supporting Australian families. This development not only highlights Australia's efforts to align with other OECD countries in offering paid parental leave, but also underscores the ongoing dialogue about how best to support families during the crucial early stages of parenthood. This has been your daily brief in Australia News. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.